And praise God for that message, too. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Great morning, that's right. Great morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this great morning, Lord, for this blessed morning. We thank you for the family of God we have here at Amazing Grace. And we thank you that you can use us, Father, wherever we are at in our lives, for your kingdom and for being a witness of your name, a witness of your promise, a witness of your blessings. And we just praise you every day for that, Lord. And we ask that you bless this message, that we may all receive it, open our hearts and minds to receive it, that it may change us from the inside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Song title is a little bit like the song, right? No longer a slave to sin. And I thank God that I am no longer a slave to sin. Amen? And we all should. Amen? A little girl was walking in a garden. Where's she at? Is she there? Oh, there she is. She noticed a particularly beautiful flower, and she admired its beauty, and she enjoyed its fragrance. She said, "It's so pretty," she exclaimed as she gazed on it. Her eyes followed the stem down to the soil in the ground and where it grew. And she said, "The flower is so pretty to be planted in such dirt." So she cried. She pulled it out by its roots and she ran to the water faucet and she washed the soil away from the stem of the flower. It wasn't long until the flower wilted and died. When the gardener saw what the little girl had done, he said, "You have destroyed my finest plant." "I'm sorry, but I didn't like it in that dirt," she said. The gardener replied, "I chose that spot and I mixed that soil because I knew that only there could it grow to be a beautiful flower." You see, often we complain because of the circumstances that we're in or the circumstances which God has placed us in. Amen? Sovereignly placed us in. We fail to realize that He is using our pressures, He's using our trials, and He's using our difficulties to bring us to a new degree of spiritual strength and beauty. Contentment comes, though, when we accept what God is doing and we thank Him for it every day, regardless of our environment or our status in this world. Amen? It is a gift from God. Do you remember where you were the day you accepted Christ? Do you remember where you were? Because despite your circumstances, God can use you. Amen? God can use you. And when He does, you no longer have to be a slave to sin. Amen? You no longer have to be a slave to sin. You can be a slave to Christ. Amen? Last week we spoke about how this letter is actually an answer to a letter that the Corinthians had wrote to Paul, and he was simply answering their questions, amen, concerning married life. We talked about married life last week, and his message was that a big part of our marriage vows is actually pleasing God, amen, and in doing so, of course, we're going to please our spouse as well, amen, but a big part of our marriage is pleasing God, doing what God wants us to do, to have a godly marriage. And he finished the message answering the question as to whether we can please God better as a married person or as a single person, right? And the answer is yes, right? To both, amen? We can please God either way, whatever situation we are in. So he goes on in verse 17. He says, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them. Just as God has called them, this is the rule I lay down in all the churches." As we talked about last week, in the church at this time in Corinth, the believers, the married couples, thought it might be more spiritual to live as if they weren't married, right? And of course, we know that's never the answer, right? And you know, they actually said that they would abstain from sex altogether so that they wouldn't do anything wrong. And then you had the people who were thinking that they could not please God because they weren't married, right? If I could only be single, then I could please God. And vice versa, amen? And remember, they would even say if you weren't married by 20, that you were a sinner and you're going to go to hell for it. That's what they believed in that culture. Amen? And then we discussed unequally yoked couples, right? One's a believer and one's not, and how they should handle their marriage vows as well. Amen? What we're to do and not to do. But now here in verse 17, Paul's saying that whatever status your life is in today, wherever you're at, if you give it to God, He can work in you and work through you. Amen? And He will use you for great works. Never think that you have to get better first so you can serve God. Amen? Because yes, there's going to be some immediate changes, right? But other changes will take time. A lot of time. Amen? The only immediate change should be your heart. Right? Because that's what God sees. Amen? That's going to be your immediate change. And in the early church, in this early church, many would say, oh, only if I was single, then I could really serve God. Or the other way around, right? If I was married, then we could really serve God. But neither one of them was right. Amen? God says you can serve Him right now where you're at. Single, married, or whatever. Amen? Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. As believers, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Never think that other people are more qualified than you, amen, or that they have it better because of their status in life. The only true prerequisite or requirement is that you have a true and powerful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only thing you need to do, because we are all one in Him as believers. Now, the devil's going to tell you all day and every day that you're not good enough for your Christian walk. Amen? That you're not good enough, that God could never forgive you for some of the things you've done in your life. That's what the devil says. Amen? Or the biggest lie, that it's too late for you. Amen? That it's too late. Those are lies of the devil. Amen? The truth is, as long as you have breath in your lungs, there's a chance. Amen. Amen? There is a chance. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. And so you might say, so Pastor, you're saying I got a chance, right? You're saying there's a chance. Amen? Yes, you have a chance. And an amazing grace is here to help you receive that free will chance. Amen? If God is calling you today, then answer the call. Don't wait. Answer the call today. Don't wait for the right time or the right place or even the right message. If you feel it in your heart and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, receive it today, because Jesus is coming back. Amen. And it could be today. Amen. Amen? It could be today. Maranatha. He goes on, verse 18, he says, was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Now, this example isn't about actual circumcision, okay? Calm down for a minute there. Take it easy, Pastor Rolf. Don't worry, man. It's about a person's background, being Jewish or being Gentile. Amen? Paul's saying, don't try to be something you're not, okay? God wants you just the way you are. Don't try to be something you're not. Circumcision, he goes on, is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Right? That's what counts. Keeping God's commands. Each person, he says, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. All right? And we're going to break that down, because that's a pretty broad statement there. Amen? But what really matters is serving the Lord, amen, from the position you're in when He called you. Don't feel that you're not qualified, amen, because of where you're at in your life. If God calls you, you're qualified. Amen. Paul's point wasn't about circumcision. It's about being who you are and allowing God to change you over time, right? Not everybody changes overnight, amen? We're all at different paths in our walk, amen, different speeds in our walk. But being teachable, amen? This is the important part. Being teachable and faithful to His words and His commands, that's what matters. Don't ever feel like even, you know, from one spectrum to the other, that you're not worthy or that you know everything. Amen. Be teachable either way. There are no prerequisites, therefore, there are no excuses to not be who God has called you to be or to not do what God has called you to do. Right? Keeping the commandments of God is the only thing that we should really be concerned with, doing what's right in the eyes of God. Bernie and Esther were not the most religious Jews, okay? In fact, they only went to the temple once a year, okay? As they were leaving the temple that one time this year, the rabbi said, Bernie, there's a rabbi, oh, there he is. It sure would be nice to see you and Esther here more than once a year. He said, I know, replied Bernie, but at least we keep the Ten Commandments, right? And that's great, the rabbi said. I'm glad to hear that you keep the commandments. And he said, yep, Esther keeps six of them, and I keep the other four. Amen. We keep the Ten Commandments. Amen. Does that sound like your household? No, I'm just kidding. Five and even. Yes, even. Five and five, right. But seriously, our goal, amen, our goal should be to try and keep the commandments every day of our lives. We know we're not going to be able to do it. Amen. The God's word says we're not going to be able to do it. But we should be trying, amen, and we should be serving God right where we're at right now today. Whether we're circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Gentile, black or white, Democrat or Republican, prisoner or free, that all these things are irrelevant when it comes to serving God. Amen? Amen. And as it was said earlier, it is the same when we look at our marital state, okay? Whether you're single or married doesn't dictate whether or not you can serve God and how much you can serve Him, amen? Although I doubt that I could do all the things that I do for God today without my wonderful wife to be at my side, amen? But if you're single, you can serve God too, amen? And so the point is, if you at least try your best despite your circumstances, amen, or your past, to keep the commandments of God, that's what matters to God. Amen? That's what matters, that you're trying your best. Verse 21, he says, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. Sounds like good advice, right? You may ask, though, why is he telling the people in the church if they may have been a slave, right? What does he mean by that? Amen? Because at that time and in that place of the Roman Empire, a great number of the population were slaves. Some say maybe about 50% of them were slaves. There were slaves everywhere. Amen? Everywhere. They had all these different occupations. There were farmers. They were laborers. They were teachers. Some of them even taught our children. Amen? Or taught the children of that day. And so Paul's talking to those who may have been slaves when they started to serve Christ. Amen? They may have been a slave when they first started serving the Lord. And those who would question themselves about being able to serve the Lord while still being a slave. Amen? Now, this made me think of the many times I've seen people give their lives to Christ in the church. Amen? But no matter how hard they try, they feel like they just don't fit in. Right? They feel like you just can't be a part of this group or that group, or I don't know what it is, Pastor. I just feel like I don't fit in. Amen? Like they're the black sheep of the congregation. All right? Like they're still a slave to sin. Amen? But you don't have to be. The truth is, we should be loving all people to Christ. Amen. Right? That's what we have to do. And that's why it's so important. Amen? Our kindness, our witness, and our hospitality are very important, so that others can come to Christ. Amen? If we're going to be the forever family that we need to be, we should act like forever family. Amen. Martin Luther said, Christ took our sins and the sins of the whole world, as well as the Father's wrath on His shoulders. And He has drowned them both in Himself, so that we are thereby reconciled to God and become completely righteous. Completely righteous. Once we give our lives to Christ, we're no longer slaves to sin. Amen? We don't have to be. And that's why Paul said, if you can gain your freedom, do so. But if not, don't let that trouble you. Don't let that trouble you. We are all a work in progress. Amen? You may not be free today, but just keep going in the right direction. That's what I always say. Amen? As long as we're moving in the right direction, everything's going to be all right. Serve God now, and maybe He'll set you free tomorrow. Amen? But serve God today. Live in His will at all costs, because God can and He will bless you right there where you're at right now. Amen? If you let Him, He will. He continues in verse 22. He says, "For the one who was a slave when called to the faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly," here it is, "the one who was free when called is Christ's slave." Right? Paul's saying, if you were a slave when you were called to the faith, then guess what? Now you're free. And if you were free, now you're a slave. Right? Amen. Amen. But it works both ways. But regardless of which way you come to Christ, you no longer have to be a slave to sin. That's what he's saying. Amen. If we're going to be a slave, we're going to be a slave to Jesus. Praise God for that. Charles Spurgeon said, "There must be a divorce between you and sin, or there can be no marriage between you and Christ." Right? Amen? Real talk right there, okay? Verse 23, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Through it all, we must always remember that we were purchased by the blood of Jesus." Just like the song said, right? By the blood of Jesus, that Christ died and rose again for all of us, for His creation. And that nobody can take that away from us but us. Amen? Nobody can take that away from you but you. Romans 8:39 said, "Nothing in this world will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in this world can separate that from you. And so Jesus didn't just rescue us from our slavery to sin so we could just go right back to the vomit. Amen? He rescued us for a reason. Some may say, oh, well, maybe they never left it, right? Could be. But Christ died for all of us. Amen? Amen? He died for us all so that we may be free to ourselves, to our sinful flesh. Amen? And that's a choice that we have to make every day of our lives. We got to make that choice every day. The rest of the verse says to not become slaves to human beings. Once we are called, we are free, free to be slaves of Christ, not man. Don't be a slave to any man. Amen? There's so many people in the world that are okay with being slaves to men or being slaves in their faith. There are many false religions in the world that are making people bow down and worship something or someone other than God. That's false religion, amen? And that's one sure way that you can spot a false religion in the world, okay? When people in the church are being treated like slaves. Never comes out good, amen? Remember, you cannot be slave to two masters, too, as it says in Matthew, right? Matthew 6, because you're going to end up loving one, and you're going to end up despising the other. One God, one master, amen? Charles Spurgeon said, "Do not follow even good men slavishly. Do not say, 'I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Calvin, I am of Wesley.' Did Calvin redeem you? Did Wesley die for you? Who is Calvin and who is Wesley but ministers by whom you believed as the Lord gave unto you? Do not so surrender under any leadership that you follow man rather than your master. I will follow anybody," he says, "that goes Christ's way, but I will, by the grace of God, follow nobody that does not go in that direction." Amen. Amen? Praise God. We should never become slaves to any man, okay? It is before God that we stand and fall. Remember, all men are sinful. Amen? We all have a sin nature, but we are no longer slaves to sin. Last verse says, "Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them." This is another broad statement, okay? This means any situation that you can think of, okay? Any situation you can think of. And I know a lot of us have been in some bad situations, right? Some of us are still in a bad situation. But Paul's saying it doesn't matter. It does not matter. God can use you right where you're at right now today. In fact, He might have put you there so you could reach somebody that everybody else can't. It may be part of His plan. Amen? But don't let the world ruin your witness. Don't let the world tell you a lie and ruin your walk with Christ. Because God has overcome the world. And lastly, He says that we should remain in the situation we were in when God called us. Okay? Remembering, though, as long as it's not a sinful situation. Okay? But remain. Don't think you got to change overnight to serve God. There was a story about a gangster in the 50s that was saved. He was saved during a revival associated with Billy Graham and a group of Hollywood people, okay? And so this mafia gangster, you got my gangster picture? No, you don't. Okay, anyway. Just think of a mafia gangster in the 50s, okay? This mafia gangster thought he was saved, but nobody had explained to him about repentance or salvation. And because of that, he thought he could be a Christian mafia gangster. Okay? Christian mafia gangster. All he understood is you just got to trust Jesus to be saved. That was it. Right? Didn't have to change anything else. Just trust Jesus to be saved. Nobody told him about repentance or a change of life. These are requirements. Amen? After we're saved. So he went along continuing to be a gangster. He said, well, there's Christian lawyers. And there's Christian doctors and Christian teachers. Why not a Christian gangster? Right? The point is, there are things that we cannot and should not associate with when we give our lives to Jesus. Amen. And being a gangster is one of them. Okay? Saying you're a gangster for Jesus is a dangerous title, but we can talk about that later. But things that we will cease to participate in when we truly accept Christ. That's what we're talking about. Amen. There are going to be things that we got to stop doing today. Okay? But the point is, there are also things that we can continue to do that we're doing today. Amen? And that God can use us to reach others through those things. Through those things. In fact, He may even choose you for the task because of whatever situation you're in or whatever position you're in. Jesus loves you, amen? And He's got great plans for you. No plans to harm you, plans for you to prosper. Amen. So be a witness for Christ, amen? And serve God and serve Him well. Serve Him well because though we are no longer slaves to sin, we as believers will always be slaves to Christ. Amen? Amen. So faithful friends, let's give God all the glory today. Let's give Him some applause, amen? Hallelujah. And let us pray. Father, thank You for this reminder today, Lord, that we can come to You right where we're at today, Father God. That we can serve You from where we are, where You've placed us today. Father, thank You that You give us the wisdom and the courage and the peace to be a witness in our lives. Wherever we're at, school, work, the streets, wherever we're at, Father God, we thank You for that opportunity. And we thank You for this message today that reminds us that we never again have to be a slave to sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.